you. It was a tangible presence today. I don't know why it was such a degree. I did get one word this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to take you to Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the eagerness or earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Notice it's separate. There are times when your desires are going to be focused on reasoning. And what happens is, Paul was aware that their desire was real, and that to have that desire was truly something that came from God and not from self. Verse 11, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. We have many seducing forces using the different ministries. And I heard something this past month from an individual that calls themselves a believer and is now in a quandary because what they have done is used their reasoning versus the seducing that is going on, and has learned that there's a place and a time to trust God and then to obey the Holy Spirit instead of the pressure tactics from people or emotions. Verse 12, for if the willingness is there and the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. You say, why do you think St. Paul was doing that? Because I don't think for one moment that the same spirits that operate now were not operating in that day. People would go out and borrow money in order to give to get something in return, almost using it such as buying lottery tickets, hoping to get rich so they can bless the body of Christ. And I heard this over the years. Don't forget, I've been at this for 30-something years, close to 40. And what I'm saying to you is this. Just be obedient to what you have and obey the Holy Spirit to give. And I had another person saying to me, oh, you're my pastor. And I thought to myself, if I'm your pastor, where have you been? How are you supporting the church? How is the corporate structure of this church going to continue without you doing your part? And it's not a criticalness because this happens to be the last Sunday of the year. But, you know, there's such a thing as obedience. And there was a press in my heart to bless a particular ministry. And I said, Lord, what's the number you want? Now, my wallet was probably saying something different.
Amen.
Okay? But the Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to do.
Yes.
Now, that's obedience. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you That's obedience. Now, it was according to what I had in the wallet, or the bank account, if you wish. And I did it in obedience, not because I was seduced. I have learned that when there's a seduction routine, that I see crying children, and I see people just totally, totally devastated by their lack of, that I'm not to be moved by sending a check for that emotional storm. How many know what I'm talking about? An emotional storm is not the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you cry your eyes out. If God has designated some individuals to give for that purpose, then that's them. But you and I need to be accountable to the first, the house of the Lord, and then the gifts that need to go out.
You are preaching. Come on.
Okay? So I'm not preaching that you need to be extra special and you got to give an extra gift before the end of the year. And that's it's not God. You know what I'm trying to say. Please.
Yes.
Verse 12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Don't put it on your charge card because you can't afford it.
Amen.
Or a gift that you're going to get in the mail. 13. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed. Do you hear me? But there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathers much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. That was because of the manna. If you had it for a large family and you were going out to pick up the manna, you had to pick up according to the need of the house. Amen? In the Ark of the Covenant, the manna was a gift. It taught a lesson. Don't try to pick up for 3 weeks because all it's going to do is rot. And he put that underneath the mercy seat. Why did he put it under the mercy seat? Because it needed to be covered. This was a demand of the people. I don't know how he was planning to do it, how he was planning to cover their needs. But I believe that there were times we have ministries right now that are crying out, buy this, buy that, in case. And fear is the objective that is pressured into people. And it's not the Holy Spirit. So my press is to you today. Stay obedient to the Lord. Because when you cry out to him, when you face to face with him, and you say, oh, you're my Lord, and he looks at you and he says, I never knew you because you didn't take time with me. You didn't support my needs according to what you had. You did it trying to buy a lottery ticket so you could win big, then you could bless big. My secret is to you, when your wallet is small, you give a small. And God will be more than blessed. And he'll bless you according to his riches. But if your wallet is heavier, and you decide to bring a heavier gift, that's fine too. Because you see, he sees yours and my heart. And the important thing is that when each one of us does what we have been commissioned of God to give, and that includes what he tells us to give for this house, then there will be sufficiency for us to do what God has called us to do as a church. So would you just close your eyes, please? Father, more than anything else. I reluctantly gave this message because I know how sensitive a matter it is. But your Holy Spirit will confirm what you want done and how you want it done without condemnation, without fault finding, without pressure tactics, because you have sustained us and we are truly grateful as a church and as a body of believers. And personally, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for your generosity in multiples of levels in this Christmas season. Even those that aren't here, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And my prayer is that we see you before New Year's, but in case, may you be blessed in the year that's coming with an abundance that's far beyond your reasoning. In Jesus' name.